presentation real quick.
Show you where we're at.
So this is 248, 165, kind of shoots off and goes very last out here road. And this is actually in stone, so it's right there on the edge of the county. Properties right here. This is Hampton Road that comes in. Kind of a little intersection here when they came through the planning. There was a lot of issues with different things. I'm sure you're going to hear about it today with this. But this is a private road that goes through here. Private as of now. It depends if they keep splitting down there. You can only have a private access to so many places. But we haven't got to that yet. Once again, the property's here. Got a lake below it. So there's a bed and breakfast, some kind of nightly rental use over here, just on the other side of it. Everything else, it's all R1 and A1. Picture of the house from the front. I ran back out there yesterday. That's not a good photo, but I tried to get you that intersection, show you, because there's probably going to be some discussion about it. Got multiple roads that all connect. Here's another side shot. Another front shot. House is behind it. Okay. I'll let you kind of read you that, but there's the history again.
Anything else for us, Cody?
Nope. Do you have any questions for me?
I don't until we start.
Okay.
Do you guys have anything, Cody, before we call the public hearing? Well, at this time, I'll call to order the public hearing for case number 11-18-2025-02 for Bridger Hardy. At this time, I would ask if the applicant or the owner please step forward and address the commission.
Pictures and kind of go over some things with you guys. I know this is not an easy job. I've been through quite a bit of these, Indian Point and other places. This is an interesting situation. I think making sure we have all the facts is important.
Sorry, your name. I'm sorry, sir. Your
name
or address?
No, my name is Andrew, my address is 1275 Table Rock Circle in Branson.
Okay. Your last name?
What's that?
Your last name?
Battaglia.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Started a relationship with these folks quite a while ago, and really great people. I met them through the father. He's a HVAC tech, amongst other things, engineering. He engineered many cities in Utah. That's where they're originally from. And they have had to go back to Utah for a family emergency, so that's where they're at right now. They have to sell this property. It is what it is. They have some things they have to attend to in their original home. It's got to be sold, so there's plenty to talk about there. But ultimately, you know, this is a situation where they've been running it as a nightly rental. And because of the location of the property, the private road, the distances between the other properties, there's a lot of reasons why this is a justifiable case. I understand that there's houses stacked on each other right next to each other and everything's, you know, all gathered together. It would be, you know, something that would be frowned upon, but the distance is the best buffering, in my opinion, and the code will also state that as well. If you will start at the first picture that I have here, he showed a picture of it, but it's the intersection where it says Ruby's Rest right there at the front. So this is where Hampton Road, the public road, meets Ruby's Rest, and at this entrance of the road, you cannot even see the cabin at all. You can't see it. You have to drive into the private road, which, if you drive to that public road without permission, you are trespassing. You cannot go onto that road. It's private. We'll go to the next picture. This picture is to the left of Ruby's Rest. Shows you there's no houses along that road except for that one house that you can see off to the right a little ways. Keep going to the next photo. You see houses off to the right. These houses are blocked by a ton of trees and forest, also a large buffering. And in this next shot, the next picture, is a shot from behind Ruby's Rest, where you see the houses in the distance quite a ways off as well. None of these houses can see the cabin whatsoever. Next picture I'm going to show you here is from the steps of the cabin, showing you the forest there as a large buffering between all the rest of the properties. Next picture we'll go to shows the one house there in the distance, also blocked by an entire lot between the subject property. Next picture we'll go to shows the lake, or the little pond anyway, with the distance between that and the next house. I'm just showing you basically the context of the location of this property and how far away the other properties are and how the buffering is an important situation to note here. So I've got a few things written down I'd like to say, if you wouldn't mind just bearing with me, and then
sure,
open for discussion. But we're here at Chemosi. We want to do things the right way. We'd like to come to a solution with the commission board. The distant neighbors will try to tell you that the rezoning is going to change their life and it's for their kids' safety, and it just doesn't math out. There's no real evidence of these accusations. And if you don't believe me, call the sheriff's office and ask them if there's been any complaints on this property, filed, documented, because there hasn't been. No matter what the structure is on the property and how it's used, there will be cars driving to and from it no matter what. Also, the road coming in to get to any of these neighboring properties from 248 is a public road, and anybody can drive up and down it at any time. However, Ruby's Rest is a private road, like we talked about, maintained by the property owners on that road. If anybody's on that road, it's trespassing if they don't have permission. No adult or child has a right to be on there without permission. The property across the street from the subject property is already zoned NR3. That's not going to change no matter what happens here today. If anybody has an issue with that property or that bed and breakfast, they need to take it up with them. They need to call the authorities. They need to, you know, have a citation written. That's the correct use of our protecting servants. Anyone at any time from anywhere can come to the neighboring streets and create any kind of problem. That's just life. It has nothing to do with the subject property. The subject property is already being used as a nightly rental. It has not changed anybody's property value nor desirability. The Taney County Code says here, it does not say that nightly rental zone property can't be next to residential property. It discusses things like buffering. Section 4.7.15 required buffering. A buffer shall be established between any structure utilized for nightly rental and any existing residential land use, meeting the requirements of Appendix H, Section 6. The buffer is not optional when NR3 or nightly rental borders residential. The language "shall be established" signals a mandatory buffer. According to Taney County's Development Guidance Zoning Code, there's a requirement for a buffer when a nightly rental structure is near any existing residential land use. Why an entire lot makes a strong buffer? It is far more effective than any standard landscape buffer. Most code mandated buffers involve trees, shrubs, a visual screen or fence, a setback of some number of feet. Those can help, but a wholly unused lot provides maximum distance between homes and rental activity, noise reduction, light pollution reduction, privacy production, visual separation that doesn't disappear each winter. Distance is the most effective buffer in any land use planning. There's an argument about NR zoning being incompatible with the existing family uses in the adjoining neighborhoods, and it just doesn't actually have depth and weight. Most of those houses can't even see this property. What about the owners of this property? What are their rights? They should be allowed the option to be zoned nightly rental. Are they being forced into single-family rental uses when right across the street is a multifamily nightly rental property? The zoning code suggests a buffer between these uses, which has been failed to be established or required. What we are requesting is a case in the way of a viable and reasonable solution. A simple way to comply with code is to buffer the multifamily nightly rental use with single-family nightly rental property. This is good planning and a real solution. Otherwise, we're simply being punished by not being allowed proper use into compatibility with the property directly across the street from the subject property. This situation has been created with the current zoning situation, and nobody has succeeded to provide any solution. This is not a majority win situation where the public sways the commission by emotion. The property owners at Ruby's Rest have rights too. We're asking that you use your knowledge and ability to help us with a solution to the zoning problem. I implore you to make a decision out of reason and in consideration of all parties' rights, not persuasion from emotion. I appreciate your consideration in this matter. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
I mean, I don't have any questions other than it's already a nightly rental. It's a conditional use permit, and I don't see why it's our responsibility, and I'm talking to you guys as well, why it's our responsibility to rezone it when the new owner could, if it's up for sale, because there's a for sale sign in the yard, why can't they come back and apply for conditional use permit?
Because it's in R1 currently?
It's not. Well, it's we're not, asking
not,
for
I'm
an
sorry,
R1.
I'm sorry. It's R1.
It's
R1.
It's R1. Okay, so it's not from ag. Gotcha.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. And
same as the other one. It comes from the R1 side.
So here's. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that was into mine.
Do you bring up the NR3 property?
Sure.
Are you familiar with the history of the NR3 property and how it got that?
I'm not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the NR3?
Yes.
Okay. So that we probably need to discuss that here.
Sure.
Not necessarily right now, but just making sure that you weren't. Didn't know if you knew the history of this whole project.
I don't know the whole history. I know this, that it's NR3 now. And the surrounding properties of on Ruby's Rest Road, which is the private road, they need to be able to have some sort of option here. I mean, that's just, unless you're going to say, hey, we're going to wipe this NR3 off the map and tell them they can't do that anymore. Because right now, I mean, you know, you've got all that ag there where all the trees are. You know, and then you've got the pond property, which, you know, is there's a I've been through this. I've been through a lot of zoning meetings where, you know, you got tons of residential houses that are right next to each other, and it just doesn't make any sense. And I get that. This is one of those situations where I'm trying to come up with a reason why it doesn't make sense. And I've stayed up. I've lost sleep. I'm like, listen, I'm gonna still eat. My family's gonna be okay if this doesn't happen. But to these people, it's a huge deal. Like, they have to go back to Utah. They have to sell this property. If that property stays zone R1 and they sell it, it's going to hurt the value of every R1 property around, because it's going to sell for very, very little, because it's not set up for single-family living. It's not set up for primary residence living. There's not even a closet in the master bedroom. It's set up for a nightly rental. If it sells, it's going to hurt the value of the surrounding properties if it doesn't sell as a nightly rental. I mean, that's just honest truth.
I don't know how it's going to hurt the values of others.
Well, the comps.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah.
But you just said it doesn't have a closet, so it's not a valid comp.
Well,
and the size of the house compared to the others.
I mean, if it's not set up for... Anyway, that's beside the point. The history, do you mind... Do you want to hear the history of everything now, or do you want to...
We can do our discussion, then we can catch that at the end, give Cody time to prepare that.
I don't have any other questions.
You have anything for him at this moment?
No. Okay. I guess, Cody, what's at the very end of that, to the south?
Down this road here?
Mm-hmm.
So that gentleman came in... So at one time, I think this was all a family...
The whole property was, all of it. And I think one of the family members actually even had one of the houses.
Over here?
Over here.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think that's right. He is looking at doing some splitting, and I told him that if he did do some more splitting down here and building of whatever he's, I don't know, wouldn't really elaborate what he wanted to build, that this road would have to become public. It can't serve all those access as a private road.
He's gone now.
The owner of all this is?
Correct. Yeah, they had to go back to Utah. Yeah, so they're not.
He still owns it, though.
He doesn't.
Oh, so he sold out the whole thing.
He sold it.
So, okay.
Yeah, he sold that. And this is actually,
this house here,
this first house here, closest to the cabin, is owned by a family member.